And if you're looking for a title for today's message, "And Can It Be?" Of course, those lines are taken from an old. "And can it be that I should gain an entrance in my Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued? Amazing love, and can it be that thou, my God, should die for me?" The hymn writers are all full of that kind of language. I wish that pulpits were full of that kind of language. Isaiah says, "Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God." Let me ask you, is Jesus God? Don't answer me, but let me ask you, is Jesus God? Is he the supreme deity? A lot of people answer that in the negative. Church folks, they choke on the fact that Jesus is God. And they say, well, he's the Son of God. And they want to make Jesus inferior and subject. There's a crowd of boys now writing about the Trinity, and they say there's an eternal subjection of the Son to the Father. What a load of bunkum is that? But the scripture I read this morning is very clear. It said that the overseers were to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. The church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. That most clearly states that Jesus is our God. Who purchased? Jesus. Who had blood? Jesus. The Father is the Father. His Spirit. The Spirit doesn't have blood. God had to become a man if he was going to redeem us. And if we don't believe that, we have no Christian faith. The foundation of our Christian faith is that the one who died on Calvary's tree was God manifest in the flesh. And there's no salvation if the one who died on Calvary's tree is not God himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Let me tell you this, the Jehovah Witnesses will come to your door, and they will tell you that they believe in Jesus. They will tell you that they believe that salvation is by grace. They will tell you that they believe in all the things that we believe in. But you must not accept that from them. You say, well, do you believe that Jesus is God? And they say, he's the Son of God. When did he become the Son of God? Well, when God created him. They believe that God created Jesus. He was the super angel. But Jesus is no super angel. He is the God of the Old Testament come into the New and taking on flesh and blood. A real human, not a phantom, not partly God, not partly human. A full God, the deity. I say, could you explain that? I say, no, I can't. And I won't attempt to. So I intend to proclaim today the truth that Jesus is God. I've recently been startled by an article that I read about some man who used to preach, and he left the Christian faith. He didn't do too well. He's not dead, but not that that's a threat for anybody. But he ended up into apostasy by denying the deity of Christ. If the one who died on the cross is not God, you have no salvation. You have nothing. We've no hope without hope. I mean, everything hinges upon Jesus. If he's not God, we're lost. If he didn't rise from the dead, we're lost. If he doesn't come back for us, we're totally dependent on the Lord Jesus. And so, if we learn about Jesus and who he is, the God-man, it will put backbone into our lives. It'll put sterling courage into our evangelism. You know, evangelism, you don't have to go out and knock doors. I don't mind knocking doors. You don't have to go out in the street. I don't mind going out. You talk to people, you're talking to them about the God-man. It's his message. He's doing his time. Hey, you know, it's like, have you ever gossiped? Well, learn to gossip about Jesus. Learn to gossip the gospel. That's all. Gossip the gospel. Anyway, when we learn that Christ is God, it'll put confidence into our praying. You're coming to a king. Large petitions with. It'll put joy into your worship. You're worshiping not just some good moral teacher. Why would we do that? Why would we worship a moral teacher? When we worship, we're worshiping God. My Jesus, I love thee. Isn't he wonderful? Don't we love him? Tell him. Worship. Listen, and these rascals who come knocking at your door, as you learn about the deity of Christ, you will learn how to refute them. Look, turn with me to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, here's something that's very, very important. Now, some of you know this very well, and it's very simple. John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, if you want to learn about the deity of Christ, no better gospel than John's Gospel. In chapter 1, in verse 1, someone's turning there, so I will just wait. Okay, verse 1. In was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Now look at verse 14. And the Word, which was the Word that was in the beginning? What's the beginning? I don't know, but when the beginning came, Jesus was already there. For in the beginning was the Word. So he's eternal. He's before the beginning. Well, what's the beginning? I don't know, but there was a beginning. When God decided there to be a beginning, but Jesus was already there, for he's the Word. Well, how do you know he's the Word? Because verse 4, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, we've got to understand this. The Word was made flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. The Word was with God. The Word was God. A startling verse. And so we've got to understand that about Jesus. Now some of you have been taught this, but he is both God and man. And unless you understand that, you will be confused about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, we read of him as a man. Luke 2 and 40, he grew. Okay. We read of him as a man. He slept. He got tired. He got thirsty. He was full. He was a real man. He was a genuine man. And he had to be. Otherwise, he could not have become our substitute. An angel could not substitute for us. We as people, when I say man, I mean people. We as human beings had sinned, all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. We needed one of us who hadn't sinned. If he was going to die for us. Had a marvelous witness to a young girl this week. She was cleaning her house, she and her friend. And I was talking to them and she said she was 2 years lawyer. So I said, I want you to use your legal logic on this. She said, well, I'd be happy to. So I said, do you believe in God? She said, yes. And I said, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yes. Do you believe he died on the cross? Oh, yes. Now, I said, The Father punished Jesus on the cross. Why did he do that? Oh, she said, I'm not sure about that. I said, now, the Father, by the way, God is a God of justice. He can't be unjust. And yet here we look at Jesus, he didn't do any sins. He never committed sins. He was holy. Why did God punish him? That seems to be an act of injustice. Oh, she said, it does, doesn't it? He hadn't done anything wrong and yet he was punished. She said, that's God. The Father must be wrong. He must have made a mistake. Because that's not just. I said, yeah, but God is just. He's the God of all justice. You see, here's the thing. He must punish sin. Because he's just. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall die. And I said, have you ever sinned? She said, oh yes. She said, well, it is appointed. I said, it's appointed unto man one time to die, and afterwards comes the judgment. Afterwards the judgment. There's going to come a time where you will close your eyelids in death and you will be transported to the judgment throne of God. And you'll have to give an account, and the wages of sin is death, and you will receive the death penalty. Gosh, she was shaken by this. And I said, what can I tell you about Jesus? Yes, the Father punished him. Because he took on himself the sins of his people. And he was punished as a substitute. And the lights came on then. I noticed her friend had been listening the whole time. And they were absolutely intrigued. They had never heard anything like that before. Jesus, the substitute. Good religious church girls didn't know about the substitute. Oh, I hope God in his mercy will draw them. They certainly heard the gospel. But we leave it to God. I can't save them. But he couldn't have died unless he'd been our substitute. I mean, unless he'd been a perfect, holy man. He couldn't have been our substitute unless that's what he was. And so he's fully human, but he's fully God. Now, let me establish that he's fully God. I don't know much of this message that I'm going to be able to give you today. We might have to do this in two parts. Do you remember a fellow called John the Baptist, a great big hairy prophet, lived in the wilderness, and he ate, it wasn't fig leaves, fig roots, what was it? He ate locusts and wild honey. Yeah. What a diet. What's for breakfast? Locusts. What's for lunch? Wild honey. What's for tea? Locusts and wild honey. Next day, what's for breakfast? What did you have for breakfast yesterday? Locusts. Okay, wild honey. But he was a thundering preacher, and he got up on the banks of the River Jordan and pointed his bony finger at the crowd, and he said, repent, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Oh dear, my Bible's seen better days. Oh dear, for those of you listening on the tape, I just dropped my collapsing Bible. Half of it fell out. But there we are. So, John the Baptist. And he was prophesied by Isaiah that he was going to come along. He was called the voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Do you remember that? Now, I've lost Matthew in that accent. Would anybody want to read me Matthew 3:3? Matthew 3:3.
When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him.
Okay, Matthew 3:3. That wasn't actually what I was looking for, but I jotted it down as 3:3. Okay, Matthew 3:3. 3:2 says, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And this was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." Prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's okay, Michael. We don't worry about it. That was a good verse you read. I like that verse. What?
2:3.
You were reading 2:3. Okay, no problem. Okay, and so notice in 3:3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. This is what Isaiah prophesied about, and prepare ye the way of the Lord, the capital L, the capital O, the capital R, capital D, which you know by having been taught and instructed. When you see that in the King James Bible, the four capital letters, that is Yahweh, Jehovah. Prepare ye the way of Yahweh. Yahweh is coming to earth. What the Isaiah prophecy said. Yahweh is on his way. And here is the prophet, John the Baptist, announcing, prepare ye the way of Yahweh. Make straight a highway for our God. Isaiah said, if you check it out, make straight a highway for our God. Who's our God? Yahweh. Yahweh is coming. Get ready. And who shows up? Jesus. John looks at him and says, "Behold, get an eyeful of this. The Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Oh, when God came, he came in the most surprising way. He came as a carpenter's boy, born in a little manger. Everybody thought either he's illegitimate or he's just a carpenter's boy. And Isaiah had said the prophet would announce his arrival. And he arrived. Because the word of God is true. But it was supposed to be Yahweh who came. Exactly. You're right. And it was Yahweh who came. It was Jehovah who came. Hallelujah. Is that not enough to get you? I tell you, as I said in the Wednesday Word, last Wednesday, is that not enough to make a Presbyterian shout? I tell you, it's amazing. That's enough to make them dance. Oh, whom did Isaiah see? Well, let's look at another passage, Isaiah chapter 6, 1 to 3. Isaiah 6, 1 to 3. This is remarkable. By this time, the Jehovah Witnesses aren't talking to you anymore. If you should, but show them that. Show them those things. Isaiah 6, 1 to 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Who's he seeing? He's seeing Yahweh. Well, this is actually, he's seeing Adonai. I'm sorry. It was L-O-R-D, capital L, then small O-R-D, and that's Adonai, which means ownership. He says, I saw Adonai sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. Now, there's no difference between, there's a functional difference between, or a descriptive difference between Adonai and Yahweh, but there's no personal difference. The same. They're the same God. And above it, and stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. For I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Wow. I'd love to preach on that today, but I can't. He's the Lord. He's Adonai. He's the Lord of hosts. That's the Lord of armies. He's the King, the Lord of armies. And then he says in verse 9, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Now let's turn to John's Gospel. Let's turn to John's Gospel. Chapter 12. Verse 39. We'll start reading from verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before him, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which spoke, Lord, who's believed our report? To whom has the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not see and believe, because that Isaiah said again, he that has blinded their eyes, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes and understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory. Spake of him. Wow. When did Isaiah see his glory? He saw it in the temple. Isaiah chapter 6. Who did he see, according to John? Jesus. He saw him in his glory. But people wouldn't believe. There's no two way about it. The man who died on the cross was God. That's where he got the blood. I've said it before. He got the blood as being a man. And blood was needed to purchase. You couldn't be purchased any other way but by blood. Isaiah saw Christ's glory. Let me ask you a question. And I'll finish. A lot more material to go here, but who is the Savior? Now, this is not a trick question. Anybody, who is the Savior? Jesus. I must be a terrible man. When did I ever try to trick you with a trick question? That's simple, isn't it? Jesus. Okay, would you agree with me? Okay, how many Saviors are there? One, two, three, four, five. One. One Savior. That's good. 43:11. You ready? Turn to that. Isaiah 43:11. And simply says this, I am the Lord. And beside me there is another Savior. Junior Savior. Beside me there is no Savior. Wow. Yahweh is the Savior. And beside him there is no Savior. No Savior? Wow. Who is the Redeemer, let me ask you? Who is the Redeemer? What's his name? What's the name of the Redeemer? Jesus. How many redeemers are there? One. Isaiah 3:14. Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer. Thus saith the Lord. L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Lord. Yahweh. Jehovah. Thus saith the Lord. Yahweh. Your Redeemer. The Holy One of Israel, for your sake I've sent to Babylon and have brought down their nobles, the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships, Wow. There's only one Redeemer. He's the Lord. If the Lord Yahweh is the Redeemer, he doesn't need another Redeemer. He's the Redeemer. You see this? Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Well, that's the same guy, because the Lord of hosts is, put it this way, there's a word called Kai when they made a Greek translation, they're translated from the Greek, and Kai can simply mean also, or it can mean even. And that could read simply, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, even his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and besides me there is no God. What? Wow. There's no God besides me. And so that was verse 6. The Redeemer. How many Redeemers do we have? Just the one. And this Redeemer says he's the first and the last, but he says he's Yahweh. I'm not going to take time to go there with you, but if you want to, if you're taking notes, you go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. And you'll see Jesus makes it very clear that he is the first and the last. But here, it's Yahweh. Well, are there two firsts? Are there two lasts? No. No. Isaiah 54, verse 15. Now, I may have trouble here because those pages are missing after the accident, the pulpit accident. So could somebody read them, Isaiah, or this verse? Isaiah 54, verse 5, anyone? Well, I'll tell you what it says. Oh, you want to? What?
15 and
5. Yes, the Lord of hosts is his name. Go ahead.
The Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel.
Ah! Go ahead.
The God of the whole earth shall be God.
The Redeemer is the God of the whole earth. Who is the Redeemer? Jesus. He is the God of the whole earth. The man who hung upon the cross was your God. He purchased his church with his own blood. Never be nervous of the deity of Christ. It was God who saved you, rescued you, by his grace and by his power. Now listen, if God has saved you, you're not going to be lost if he saved you. Oh, that's a dangerous doctrine. Why? I know guys who said they were saved and they just lived all their life. They lived in the pubs and they lived in... Well, they said they were saved. It's doubtful whether they were. But if you're saved, what do you mean you don't believe you could take a drink? I didn't say that. But God takes charge and he puts new desires into us. That doesn't mean we're perfect or flawless by any means. Some people would try to argue that you're going to be sinless. Not at all. But I'd like to be. Wouldn't you? And I look at sin and I say, no, I'm not just going to do that. It's like the Mars bar. I'm addicted to Mars bars. I look at that Mars bar and I say, I'm going to eat it. No, you're not. Yes, I am. You know the cartoons, the two devils, you know, and all that got there? Well, I walk away from the Mars bar. So far, so good for quite a long time now, but... And God has given me the strength to do that. But I need the strength. If I'm going to succeed today to not get near a Mars bar, I need the strength. You don't have to be doing sins all the time. You say no in the power of the Lord. But the man who died on the cross and shed his blood was God. I have a lot more to say on this. pages on this. The God of the whole earth. And so we see Jesus is the Redeemer. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the first, he's the last, he's the Lord of hosts, the King of Israel. He's the God of the whole earth. And that is the gospel truth this morning. Thank you for listening.